For 30 years, people told me there's no I in team. I told players there's no I in team. Now I believe there is I in team. We need the individual talents, but we need to create the team mentality first. And this is one of the biggest jobs as us as coaches, is to create a team mentality.
Transportation Matters, the CEO podcast of Daimler Trucks and Buses.
Welcome to a new episode of Transportation Matters. My name is Martin Daum. I'm the CEO of Daimler Truck AG. I've been looking forward to this episode for quite a long time because it is with a great person and about a great sport, basketball. Basketball is fast, athletic, skillful, exciting, strategic, and you can only succeed as a team. Every player matters. My guest today is Gordon Herbert. He used to be a pro player in Finland and Belgium. As head coach, he has plenty of trophies in his showcase. He won several national and international club titles, and he also was coach of the year in the German Bundesliga. But of course, the biggest highlight was winning the world championship last year with Team Germany. The overarching question I would like to discuss with him, therefore, is this. How do you make the impossible possible? Because that's exactly what he got accomplished with Team Germany. Hardly anyone would have thought that his team could win the world championship and now go to the Olympic Games as a title contender. He has now written a book about this journey, which we are happy to refer in our show notes. It's called Die Jungs gaben mir mein Leben zurück. Gordy, welcome to our podcast. Great to have you. And that gives me the first question. I naturally addressed you as Gordy because everyone calls you Gordy. But do you actually feel comfortable with that?
No, only my mother used to call me Gordon. Everybody calls me Gordy or Gord. So I go by Gordy.
I don't want to be that you think I'm your mother, so I stay with Gordy. How did Gordy come up with?
I really don't know. I just feel more comfortable with it. I thought Gordon was a little bit too formal. Gordy's a little bit more easygoing, I thought. So people just ended up calling me Gordy and not Gordon.
So the most famous part was Germany winning the world championship in basketball. I watched a couple of games and I was really excited. If you would have asked me at the beginning of the world championship that Germany is going to the final or even would win it, I would say it's absolutely impossible. But you never doubted. When you started to become German national coach, you said, I want to win 3 medals in 3 years or 3 different tournaments. How did you come up with such a audacious, huge target?
I think my experience coaching the Georgian national team and the Canadian national team helped me immensely coming into this job with Germany. You know, I truly believe one needs to give a vision. For me, it's a big thing in leadership is vision. And vision is not where we are or not where we were, but where we're going. And so I gave the vision when I took the job, 3 medals in 3 years. I'm a big believer in the number 3. For me, 3 is the emphasis. And so I said 3 medals in 3 years. And to a certain extent, I wasn't talking to the public. I was talking to our players, our national team players. This is where we're going. You know, we can get on the boat together or you don't have to get on the boat. We're either in or we're out. And with that, I said, we need a 3-year commitment from players. We need to build 1 year after the other. We need a core group going from 1 year to the other. So that was kind of the vision I gave going forward. You know, no one really believed me. Everybody would kind of laughed at it because Germany hadn't won a medal for almost 20 years in any competition in basketball. And we're 2 for 2 and we got 1 more to go.
And we talk about that 1 more to go, certainly at the end. But for me, it's going in with a vision. And you said, like, it has always 2 aspects. The guys you work with, to whom this vision should be inspirational. But then other, the outside world, which starts to watch you. And as bigger the vision you give, as bigger the pressure will be because people will hold you accountable. Was it never a pressure for you or the angst that you don't make those ambitions?
Not really. I think one of the biggest mistakes in sport and business is people don't give a clear precise vision. They give wiggle room in case failure comes. We can't be afraid of failure. If we're afraid of failure, we never succeed in anything. So really, I never thought about failure. I just thought about where we're going and then how we're going to get there. And to a certain extent, we always think about the end in mind, and then we work backwards.
But on the other side, if the vision is too big, then people might not even start doing it. So how did you come up with a goal that was visionary enough, but on the other side, reachable?
No, it's kind of funny because one player told me before I gave the vision that I don't think we should talk about that, coach, because it puts a little bit of pressure on us, and what happens if we don't get it? But I feel the other way around. I think when I took this job, I was really excited about, we got some great players in Germany, a lot better players than people know about. We have Dennis Schroeder and Franz Wagner, who are two of the better players in FIBA. And we have some extremely good players and extremely good role players. And I thought if I got everybody to commit to playing, we need a little bit of luck, et cetera, et cetera. But it's a unique group. And I just thought with this group, we had a chance to be very successful.
And I can relate absolutely to that, because I have had that often in our business environment too. And sometimes people think if I only work a little bit harder, or if I'm a little bit more lucky, then I might reach that goal. Those goals are not the right one, in my opinion. The right goals are things where I have to really sit down and think, what should I do different to reach something nobody thinks I can reach today? But therefore, I have to do things different. And I think that was exactly what you did with your team too, then sitting down and say, what do we have to change from the past?
I made the vision, I said the vision, and then my next thing I did, I went around and met personally with 35 to 40 German players in their environment. I needed to develop relationships with them. I needed to start to get trust and respect with them. Because in the summertime, when the national team gets together, it's a very short period of time. We don't have time to develop relationships. And in today's world, relationship building has become more and more important. And it's very important, in my opinion, with the national team. I've really tried to have an open communication with them, keep the relationship building and going forward. And for me, that was really important right away after I set the vision, because players want to know a little bit, coach, what are we talking about? 3 medals in 3 years. Are you crazy? And I say, no, we have some great players.
And then the great players, and that is what I like reading through your thoughts, was that great players is not enough. It needs to be a great team. And for me, that is one thing which makes life so interesting. Yeah, on the one side, we all want to be individuals. We all want to be special. But on the other side, we can only succeed if we work together. How is that in a basketball atmosphere where everyone wants to be a star? Everyone sees the big contract from big clubs at the horizon. And on the other side, he has to sacrifice to be part of a team. How do you balance that?
One of my biggest and our coaching team's biggest jobs is we have a lot of players come in who are stars with their own team. And now they come into the national team, and we have to take a bunch of really good individuals and make a team out of it. And for me, it's just about being really transparent and honest and brutally honest. And I tell players, especially 10, 11, and 12 on the team, you might not play. Are you okay with this? For me, players 10, 11, and 12 are very, very important, that they're great teammates, they're good in the locker room, and they understand their role and they're able to accept their role. And I think with this team, that was exceptional. But it doesn't matter if it's a sport or business. Players are there because of their individual talents a lot of times. And now the biggest thing with a leader or a coach is taking these individuals and making a team. And I use the slogan, one alone cannot reach greatness. Together, united as one, we can reach greatness.
But I still think it's difficult. You yourself say team building is often underestimated and you started too late. So I understand the early start and I fully supported this. But how do you really start a team? I mean, you can't start it with staying there and doing a speech. How do you convince people working together as a team?
I think one of the biggest things with the national team that I've experienced over the years is we spend too much time picking the team. For example, we have 18 players in. We spend too much time getting to the 12 players. So my experience is we get to the 12 players as soon as possible and start building the team. Is it fair to everybody? No. But we need time to build the team. And then we get to 12 players and we start building the team. And, you know, it's very important. We can't have five guys starting who need the basketball. We need guys who can impact the game without scoring. For 30 years, people told me there's no I in team. I told players there's no I in team. Now I believe there is I in team. We need the individual talents, but we need to create the team mentality first. And this is one of the biggest jobs as us as coaches, is to create a team mentality. And how do we do that? Starts from day one when we get the 12 players picked. To me, it's a little bit like putting a puzzle together. You have the big pieces, which are easy, and now you have the little pieces coming in. Where do they fit? How do they fit? Do they fit?
I have experienced it various times. Management groups that work as a team are always stronger than even if you have geniuses in your team. However, we are individuals, and individuals tend to have conflicts with other individuals. And how do you deal with conflicts in teams? I can think if you have 12 players like you had at the World Championship, they are not all friends with each other. And especially if you're so close together, sometimes you have grudges against each other, which might then have impact on the field.
We're going to have adversity and we're going to have conflicts. Adversity is kind of, to me, it's more about failures. It's about challenges. It's about obstacles. Conflicts usually involve people. We're in a very competitive business in sport. We want competitive players. And when you're competitive and you're competing, there's going to be conflicts. And I use the term, I'd rather try to tame a lion than try to teach a cat how to roar. For me, it's great to have players that compete. And two of our best players, Dennis Schroeder and Franz Wagner, are two of our most competitive players. With that being said, there's going to be conflicts. And how I deal with conflicts, you have to talk it out. You got to address it. You got to talk it out. We had a huge conflict in the Slovenia game between two players and then myself and a player. The players went at halftime and figured it out. Sometimes they can figure out themselves. Sometimes I need to step in. And for me, when I step in, I say three things. What's the problem? What caused the problem? How do we fix the problem? And in today's world, we don't use the word sorry enough. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. It's my fault. When we look in the mirror and can take ownership of things, we can fix things.
That is so important, saying sorry and seeing the problem on my side, because that helps on the other side to correct their problem. Now, if you run into a player who has not the ability to say sorry, if you run in a player who always points to others who are to blame, what would you then do with such a player?
You know, my whole thing with saying I'm sorry, I ask players sometimes, is that a strength or a weakness? Saying I'm sorry is a strength.
Absolutely.
There's going to be players who kind of, you know, it's always somebody else's fault. It's this and that. Fortunately, we don't have any of those players with the German national team. I have not had to deal with that. Our players are outstanding individuals, better humans than players. I have not had to deal with that with this team. In the past, I've had to deal with that. And my whole thing is, with these type of players, I just say, it's time to look in the mirror. There's the problem. Let's fix it. And the first thing to fixing it is understand you might be the reason causing the problem. But fortunately, with this German team and these players, I have not had that issue.
That's great. And that's a great outlook to the next couple of weeks. You predicted three medals. Two you have, 2022 European Championship bronze medal, 23 gold medal at the World Championship. Now you lack silver, so a silver medal in Paris. Is this what you're going for?
No, my vision was three medals. I will have a meeting with the players once we get down to 12 players. And I have the players set our goal, our performance goals, and our team identity. And when I do it this way, our players hold themselves more accountable and they hold each other more accountable. So I will do this with the players once we get into camp, and then we'll come up with the exact goal we're going to have. My vision is still three medals in 3 years. I can't tell you which one at this time.
I would take any. This Paris, I would say that's an exciting basketball tournament. The U.S. will most likely come with a much better team. Some of the European teams, especially Serbia with Jokic, will play completely different than in the World Championship. So the mountain gets higher. And now you have a target on your back. You know, beat Germany. I think there are a couple of guys out who would just love to show that they are better than Germany.
No, absolutely. We do have a little bit of a target, I think. And the U.S. had some very good young players last year. Now they have the big name players coming. This basketball in the Olympics has a chance to be the highlight of the Olympics, in my opinion. I mean, we're going to have some tremendous players there, very good teams. And in my opinion, there could be 9 teams out of the 12 that have a chance to medal. So it's going to be a great challenge for us, and we're really looking forward to the challenge. Our biggest thing is our mindset going into camp. Are we feeling good about the World Championship, or we understand that we're going to get better? We need to get better and build on what we accomplished so far. For me, that's one of my biggest challenges going into camp.
Would you change things significantly from the World Championship approach, or you just try to repeat what was successful there?
We'll have a coaches summit 3 days before the players come in Munich. We'll talk about this. We'll take things that we did well and keep them. There will be some things that we did not do as well as we need to do, and we might change. But our biggest thing is we have a core group going forward. We'll take our defensive system, offensive system, and hopefully build on that and get a little bit more versatile on things we do. But a huge thing is for us is when you're good, remember how you got there and build on it.
When you had in your life tremendous success, but in your book you write about several times when you hit rock bottom, what is more difficult? Continuing after success to be successful or working yourself out of a hole?
I hit rock bottom. I think as athletes and coaches, we're really trained. It's in our DNA that when we have adversity, when we have failures, we have conflicts, we fight through it. And a lot of times we do not know we're going into depression or burnout or different things because we're so used to fighting through things. For me, that was the most difficult because I really didn't realize what I was going into until I hit rock bottom. At first, I was fighting through it. I just thought it was some adversity, different things going on in my life. But then I realized when I hit rock bottom, I really hit rock bottom. I was very fortunate. People around me, Gunnar Wipka, Axel Dignaus, different people, Thomas Kuntz gave me a lot of support and really helped me get through it. So I'll always be grateful to the people in Frankfurt who helped me come back, so to speak.
And does that experience help you today if you lose a game or run in difficult situations, or do you have to re-experience it every time again?
No, I think, you know, the mental health issue is much different than the losing a game or failures and facing adversity or conflicts. You know, I'm a big believer in adversity as long as we embrace it. We don't plan for adversity, but it happens. And with adversity, we have a great chance to get better if we embrace it. The whole thing is we have to embrace it. We have to lay the groundwork on how we're going to go forward. And then we have a great chance to get better in what we're doing. You know, one of the biggest things that happened to us last summer was losing the game in Abu Dhabi against the United States in a practice game. That helped us get better. And that helped us when we played the United States in the semifinals. We knew at that time we could beat them.
Complete change of topics, because that's in our company another big one, is working together on a global basis with complete different cultures and complete different people. What's the experience in your life? I mean, you are Canadian, you have worked all over the place, especially in Europe. Any kind of secret how to work in international teams?
No, I think the biggest thing is when you go to different countries is you understand the culture, you respect the culture, you live the culture. And that's what I've tried to do. And now you understand the individuals better in those cultures too. So it's real simple for me. And I love going into different cultures and experiencing them and living them. For me, this is a life experience.
Yeah, and I like that you used the word respect, because I would say that is for me the key, that we respect everyone regardless from his or her origin and work then together. And then get the best out of everyone. And then, yeah, and then we're back to a team, you know, where we can accomplish real great things.
No, absolutely. And, I've been very fortunate to work in different countries and work with a lot of different people and a lot of great people. So I've been very fortunate, you know, and we're always learning. We're always adapting. We're always getting better. And being around different people and different cultures has really helped me grow.
Yeah, Gordy, thank you so much for your insights, for your thoughts. I keep my fingers definitely crossed for Team Germany at the Olympic. In our business, I wish you a truckload of luck, and you have the ingredients in your team to make it happen. I'm a big believer in your vision. I would like to wrap it up with this for today. Thanks for being there, and please join us again for our next episode of Transportation Matters, because as we like to say, transportation truly matters for all of us. Until then, take care and goodbye.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it too. Yeah, I really loved your book, and really all the best for Paris.
That was Transportation Matters, the CEO podcast of Daimler Trucks and Buses. If you enjoyed what you've heard, share this episode and subscribe to Transportation Matters on your preferred podcast platform. You can do this by tapping the follow or subscribe button right next to the podcast title.